chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to start there. I'm going to look at several different passages this morning. Before I get into it, though, I did find a few appropriate, I think, some good mom jokes that just kind of break the ice here a little bit. So, these, I can see these applying to my family with my wife and my kids here sometimes. But good moms let their kids lick the beaters. Great moms turn them off first. So depends on the situation there, I suppose. But here's one. Motherhood is like a fairy tale, but in reverse, you start out in a beautiful ball gown and end up in stained rags cleaning up after little people. Having weird moms builds character. Having a weird mom builds character. Let's see. My kids can never make fun of me for teaching me how to use my phone. I taught them how to use a spoon. Of course, my mom there doing that. One more. This is definitely true in our house. But nothing is truly lost until mom can't find it. Then you know it's gone. But anyways, all right. Thought those were humorous there. Okay, we're going to start off there this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll look at this and several other passages. But what I want to look at today, looking at the value of a mother, the value of a mom, and by way of encouragement, the purpose of my message today is to try and be an encouragement to mothers, especially those who may be struggling with the burdens of motherhood. Now, that's something that I cannot relate to. I cannot know. I cannot experience, you know, what being a mother is like. Only a mother can truly know the extent of the difficulties and burdens that brings. But what I want to do is use Scripture to point out the tremendous importance and value of a mother and try to be an encouragement to you and know that what you're doing is such a big deal, such a huge thing, and to remind you just how valuable you are in your family. Perhaps there is someone here who is feeling overwhelmed and insufficient as a mother. I hope to remind you just how valuable you are and to encourage you. I guarantee you that whether things are going great or whether it may be at a point of struggle, I guarantee you don't realize just how much you do for your children and for your family. And I hope to point out that from Scripture and just from common sense here today that being a mother is a big deal, and you are a big deal. You are right. I mean, of the positions that God has established, the positions that you could be, you know, in comparison in life, the different positions available out there, being a mother is right at the very top of the list of importance. We're going to look at Genesis, starting with Eve and how she was defined by the fact that she was a mother. You know, that is such an important thing. Now, when thinking about preaching this message, I was studying through what brought this topic to mind for me is my own personal experience a little bit with my first wife, with Heidi. And and I realize there might be some here that don't know the full story there or are not familiar with that story. So I think I will maybe share some brief details initially and then try to use that to be an encouragement. It's not something that I like to bring up. I don't talk about. I don't think I've ever really brought it up in a sermon before, but I think it'd be potentially a help here in this, especially as it applies to motherhood. And because it's, I think that her case is not as isolated as it may seem. There are some very real struggles that go along with being a mother, and perhaps there's someone here that is also struggling that this could be a help to. So some brief details I'll give you is the kind of the background of where I'm coming at, so you understand some of the background and why I would like to be an encouragement to someone in that situation. So if you don't know, Sharon here, this is my wife. Now she's my second wife. We're both are widower and remarried, and So my first wife, she was a very good mother. We had two kids together, Enoch and Ethan. And she was a very good mother. Enoch was born about a year after we married, and then Ethan about 2 years after Enoch was born, about 2 years apart. And so initially was very, you know, good. Her initial struggles as a first-time mother were probably normal and typical, and definitely some struggles there. But nonetheless, she worked very hard and was very good at it. But after Ethan, our second child, was born, she began to struggle quite a bit more. There was some things going on there. She began to feel very insufficient, very much like a failure as a mother and in her home and whatnot. Now, in her case, things were certainly complicated by some physical ailments she was struggling with, even some mental conditions she was struggling with that really added to these problems. But nonetheless, she struggled greatly as a mother of feeling sufficient and feeling like valued in that. And of course, we tried many different things to try to be an encouragement to her. But so after Ethan was born, things were complicated by kind of a persistent infection that we were treating with antibiotics, which we found out later were a major contributing factor to her deteriorating mental condition as well. So that added to the mix as well. But she got to the point where she was convinced that she could not be a good mother. And again, obviously she did not have normal rational thinking. There was some other contributing factors there. And this is definitely an extreme case, but I don't want to pretend that no one else has perhaps similar feelings, similar struggles at times. And I want to attempt to be an encouragement there. And of course, with Heidi, she took it to the extreme that not only could she not be a good mother, but that she had so negatively impacted her 2-year-old son that he had no hope in life either. Like I said, it was irrational thinking. Took it to an extreme. And of course, that led to her taking her own life and attempting to take the life of her 2-year-old son as well. And God, of course, miraculously spared him, which we are thankful of. But so this is an extreme case, but I don't want to pretend that no one else has struggles like this, because it could be that there are feelings of insufficiency or failure. And so what I want to do is just kind of show from Scripture initially just the importance and value of a mother, and just try to show you the impact that you have. Just want to kind of stress to our mothers out there. Excuse me. Sorry. We'll get through this. But as we'll see in Scripture, you know, you are so valuable. You're so important. Don't quit. Don't give up. And let's hopefully we can see through Scripture here just how valuable you are, and have some encouragement here, hopefully. So we're going to start off. Well, let me start by reading 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, and then we'll go from here. I should have started off with this. Let's read this, and then we'll go ahead with a word of prayer. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also," or this mention of this great faith from Timothy's mother and grandmother, and the influence that had in his life. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the message here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for your word, the truth of your word we can look to now. We pray that you just help me to effectively and clearly communicate the message you have for us today. We thank you again so much for our mothers here. We pray that this would be, in some small way, just an encouragement to someone here this morning. And we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And now, in our culture, in the last century, has seen a tremendous devaluation of mothers. I think this started with the push for women to enter the workforce, perhaps after the world wars. And but we've seen it gone to extremes the last 10 years, we've seen even the term mother in some circles being changed to birthing parent. I mean, what in the world? So there's multiple factors here besides internal struggles. There could also be external factors like our own culture and the media and everything around us that we see telling you that your job as a mother is not nearly as important as what you could be doing sitting behind a desk for 40 hours a week doing whatever. That's not true. Doing some secular job is no way going to come near the value and importance of being a mother. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, I mentioned that already. Let me go there, then we'll jump back to 2 Timothy here. But just mention this here. This is the first time we've mentioned here of Eve and mother. But Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." Just kind of making the simple point here that Eve was named because she was a mother. She was defined by the fact that she was a mother. This was Eve's purpose here. This is what God had designed her to do, had created her for. That was to be a mother. And what a tremendous gift that were. So think about it this way. You know, God had specially created and designed Eve for this purpose. And there are other purposes as well, of course, being a helpmeet to Adam and other purposes. But this right here was, of course, one of the biggest ones. And so if you have God, He is the creator. If He's creating Eve, if He's creating woman for this specific purpose, He knows that that is what will be the most fulfilling. When God gives us a purpose, Acts 17 talks about this, about the purpose He gives to every person, and that if you will seek God and the purpose that He has for you, you will be fulfilled. That's what brings joy and fulfillment. And so this is a big part of for women, for a lot of women, being a mother is a big part of God's purpose for you. And that it will bring joy and fulfillment for you. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, sorry, we'll flip back over there again. I'm going to be flipping around a little bit here. But we're going to just go through a few passages of Scripture here, some in Proverbs, some different areas showing different effects that mothers had in their family and on their children. And to show us today the potential that mothers have in our life. If anybody has a good mother, you know that this will just barely scratch the surface here, what we're going to talk about. But 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." Okay, so faith here is a big one. Timothy's mother and grandmother taught Timothy this unfeigned faith. And this is something that, of course, would have influenced him tremendously and led him to become what God had wanted for him to do, to become this pastor and this fellow laborer along with Paul, and to do these tremendous things. That's because of the faith that his mother and grandmother taught him. And we see lots of examples in Scripture of mothers that showed great faith. And I just want to emphasize to you this morning that you as a mother, women, as ladies in this room who you have children, grandchildren, or you influence others as a mother, you have the opportunity to teach them faith in God. They have the opportunity to teach them purpose in life. And with faith in God, we look at the book of Hebrews, you study what it means to have faith in God and the importance of that, the value of that. That is, you have the opportunity to influence your kids, teach them about their very purpose in life and to give them a fulfilling life doing what God would have them to do, teaching them faith in God. Not to mention, of course, trusting in God in difficult times. For me, that's a big example I have from my mother, that I often look back to when we were in New Guinea and lots of things growing up. Seeing incredible faith in my mom going through unbelievable times. My dad was the one where it was always the end of the world. And my mom was the one where, no, this God, we can do this. Now, of course, Dad had tremendous faith as well. But really, when I look back at my childhood, my mom is what I was, as a bulwark of, wow, she had faith in God, and what we were doing was God's will, and we're going to do it. And she went through some very hard things, but she had faith in God, and she passed that down to me and my siblings. And so you, as a mother, you have, as you live your life, as you serving the Lord and serving your family, raising your family, you are teaching your kids faith in God, trust in God. That is what you are doing for your children. And there's several other examples of mothers who show great faith. This is actually brought out many times in Scripture. Think of the mother of Moses, Jochebed, in Exodus chapter 2. She showed faith when she illegally allowed her son to live. You know, she was supposed to kill her son, but she hid him for 3 months and then put him in the basket on the river and then let him, you know, the Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and then she ends up raising him for a couple of years while she nursed him. But she showed tremendous faith in God and obeying God rather than Pharaoh, and in believing that God had something for her child and kept keeping him alive. Hannah, of course, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, is a tremendous example of faith. Someone who prayed to God initially, who could not have children, and she prayed to God, and God allowed her to have Samuel. And then and she raised Samuel those first few years of his life, teaching him faith. And Samuel went on to become this powerful prophet of the Lord. I guarantee you that wasn't because of his dad primarily, of Elkanah. That was because of Hannah, of why he served the Lord that did that. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there's an example of the Shunammite mother. I might read that one real quick. Might not be as familiar. 2 Kings chapter 4, you have the account here of Elisha and the Shunammite mother. I'm not going to read the whole account. Let me just read I'll start in verse 18. Verse 17. It says, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time. So she had, it's kind of jumping in the middle of context, but she wanted a son. She had, Elisha had told her that she was going to have a son. She did. Verse 18 said, when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. She said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward and slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. And so she went, came to the man of God in Mount Carmel. It came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, sir, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Anyways, and we'll stop there, but she goes and she ends up meeting the prophet and asking him to go and help her son, and he does. He actually raises him back to life, performing a miracle there. But nonetheless, to see the tremendous faith of this Shunammite woman. I mean, the faith initially to ask God for the child and to trust God for that. And then when the child dies, she doesn't give up. She's like, wait a minute. God promised me I would have a son. I've got faith in that. So I'm going to believe in that. I'm going to go get the prophet. And God gave her son back. She had tremendous faith in God. Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, the mother of John the Baptist, showing tremendous faith when Mary comes to her bearing, you know, Jesus still in her womb, and John the Baptist, you know, jumps up in Elizabeth's womb, and she shows tremendous faith in declaring that, you know, Mary was carrying the Messiah, and that was her Savior, and her faith in that. And no doubt, you know, we see when the angel first came to Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, he was full of doubt. And, you know, and the angel made him dumb, not be able to speak for several months because of that. But we never see that in Elizabeth. And she believed God. And I'm sure that, you know, we see John the Baptist go out and do powerful things in a large part because of the faith of his mother, Elizabeth. Of course, the mother of Mary in Luke chapter 1. Now, her example of her faith in God, of course, her case was a little bit different, with Jesus being the Son of God and sinless and perfect. But we see tremendous faith in Luke chapter 1 when the angel comes down to Mary and says, "Hey, you're going to have, you're going to be, you know, basically this chosen one to carry the Messiah." She says, okay, let it be done to me. She wasn't like Zacharias, where she had a lack of faith. She had tremendous faith. And then in Matthew 15, too, I'll look at this one real quick. The Canaanite mother. Let me just look at this one. This one might not be as familiar. A tremendous example of faith here in Matthew 15. Verse 22 says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto me, even unto thee, even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." So there's tremendous faith. So we see tremendous examples in Scripture. You could go through Hebrews 11 to see more of these as well. But the faith of a mother is something that is often brought out in Scripture. And this is something that you are showing to your kids, that your kids need, that they are seeing, they are learning from you. They are learning this incredible, valuable thing. This is what you are doing for your family, showing this tremendous faith in God. Go to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. A couple things from Proverbs here regarding the effects of a mother on their children and on their family. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Says, "Hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." So the law, of course, obviously focusing on the mother here. The law of your mother is an ornament of grace and chains about your neck. Not necessarily meaning like chains of imprisonment here, but it's more like it's the thing of beauty, of a decoration, an ornament, like jewelry. Mother, by her law, okay, moms, your laws that you lay down for your kids, when you set laws for your kids, you tell, of course, in this book of Proverbs, this is in context of according to God's wisdom, according to God's word. When you are teaching your kids God's word and you're setting laws and rules and instructions for them, you are beautifying their life spiritually. You use this ornament of grace about their head. So you are dramatically improving your children's life by giving them these laws, your instruction, your laws, your teaching, by making them follow your rules. This is what you're adding an ornament of grace. A mother can beautify their child's life spiritually by her laws, by her teaching. Just as a beautiful ornament or piece of jewelry is pleasant to look at, a child who is disciplined, is used to his mother's laws and obeys his mother's laws, is pleasant to be around. So you mothers, what you are doing when you are teaching your children, you're investing this time, you're beating your head against the wall trying to get your 3-year-old to listen to you, and but you're teaching them your laws, you are making those children more beautiful, as it were, spiritually, or making them to where they're not so bad to be around. No, but you're improving their quality of life tremendously by teaching them your laws. So it's not in vain. Keep at it. You're doing a tremendous thing for your children. Proverbs chapter 6 is similarly here. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. "Is my son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not thy law of thy mother." Similar verse here. It says, verse 21, "To bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman." So in context here, of course, this book of Proverbs is all in context of, you know, the word of God, the wisdom of God, but it's specifically talking about the father's commandment and the law of thy mother. Mother, what you are doing when you are teaching your children the laws of God and you're instructing them, as we said, you are giving these things to your children. If they will bind them, if they will listen to them, of course, that's teaching of Proverbs. The children needs to respond correctly. If they will, you will protect your children from tremendous harm. There is great, great danger to a child that has no mother. or an absent mother, or maybe even, you know, a careless mother or whatnot. But you, as you faithful mothers that are out there, you're Christian mothers, you're in the Word of God, you're teaching the Word of God, you are putting hedges of protection around your children that you do not even realize. And that if you were to not be there, they would be open to so many dangers. And spiritually here we're speaking, you know, it talks about how this law, in verse 22, it will lead thee. It's going to lead your children. And when they sleep, it will protect them. It will protect if they follow your laws. And it will guide them. It will talk with them. The commandment is a lamp. The law is light. Reproof, self-instruction, way of life. This is a mother teaching her laws to the children. Of course, according to the laws of God, you are giving this protection to the children. Even verse 24, even keeping your sons from the evil woman, from the flattery tongue of the strange woman. You are doing that. You are protecting your children from these dangers as you teach them the law of God, as you do that. And I can speak from experience on maybe a less spiritual note, but like when I was a single parent for a couple of years, just me and my kids, oh man, those kids were not protected in a lot of ways. Not just spiritually, I mean, they were toddlers, but wow. I kept those two boys alive. Just barely. I mean, just barely. So, mothers, you add a lot of protection to your kids sometimes. When it's just a dad, bad things can happen. I won't go into too many details, but praise the Lord for mothers. Let's go to Proverbs 31. Kind of a well-known chapter. Proverbs 31. Verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So, first kind of obvious point here is that mothers, you can teach wisdom to your children. This is King Lemuel here, who is thought to be Solomon, most likely another name for him. This is what his mother, which would have been Bathsheba, taught him. So he is writing down the Proverbs. And these, I mean, this is, of course, under inspiration of Scripture as well. This is God's Word. But he learned these things from his mother. Mothers, as you are seeking to be that virtuous woman as laid out in Proverbs 31, and you are working tirelessly and hard and with little sleep and teaching your children and providing for them and doing all these things, you are teaching your kids wisdom. Keep at it. You are doing such a valuable thing for your kids. Teach them wisdom. And that is something that a mother can do. That is something that is needed from a mother. And if you go through Proverbs 31, of course, especially starting in verse 10 down to the end of the chapter, going through the virtuous woman, it has much to say about the virtuous woman and what she gives to her family, what she adds and goes to her family. And we're not necessarily go through all of this necessarily for time's sake, but if you go through, she gives her family security and stability, you know, the heart of her husband to safely trust in her, have no need to spoil. Abundant provisions and care. You know, if you go through and you read this, talks about seeking wool and flax. You know, she's like the merchant ship. She's rising while it's yet night. Gives meat, talking about her hard work ethic. And if you talk like verse 19, her hands to the spindle, or her hands hold the distaff, stretch their hands to the poor. She's not afraid of snow for her household, or they're clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband's known in the gates. As you go through and you read this, you know, the thing that stuck out to me is like, she just makes the home abundant, like abundant with provisions of care. Like I can tell you, like I said, from personal experience, being a single parent for a single dad for a couple of years, like I said, I kept those kids alive. Our diet was Clif Bars, those applesauce pouches things. Occasionally, if we wanted to splurge, we'd have a box of macaroni and cheese boiled on the stove. I mean, we survived, barely. But when we have a mother in the home now, the home is now abundant. I mean, there's curtains on the windows, there's furniture, there's joy, there's pretty things around, there's food, meals, breakfast. It's like, the home is now abundant. Like, dads, we can't do that. I mean, this is not something a father can do. This is what a mother does, who's, you know, the virtuous woman. She's seeking the Lord. She makes her house abundant. She does all these wonderful things. And it may be something that maybe you don't realize as much, but you are what makes your home a home. That is what you do. You make that such a valuable, special place. That is what mothers do. Home is not going to be nearly as enjoyable without mom. Just not going to be. And of course, you know, with Proverbs 31, she gives wisdom to her home. She gives kindness. Look at verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness, this is one of the key things taught by a mother. And you see, it's brought out in Scripture a few times. And you think about it, the law of kindness. This is something, and I can also, also from personal experience, from having a couple years of kids without a mother. Kindness is a big deal. That is what is brought to the home. But that balance, dad can be a little bit of, a little hard sometimes, maybe. Mother brings a good balance into that equation. And sometimes it's reversed, depending on the situation. Like, you get home from work, and the little boys have been driving her crazy. She's ready to throw them out the window. I'm like, all right, let me help you out here a little bit. But the mother brings that law of kindness into the family as well, at home. And one more thing we'll look at here, just not going to go too much longer, but Isaiah 66, one thing, it talks about one thing that comes from a mother as well. Isaiah 66, verse 3. That is not the right verse. That is not the right verse. I wrote down the wrong reference there. That's talking about killing an ox and slaughtering an idol. I apologize. Anyways, and I didn't write out the verse. I'm not going to take time to look for it. But the verse was God speaking about how he was going to comfort Israel as a mother comforts her children. If anybody knows where that verse reference is, you can look at it. But sorry, I wrote down the wrong one. But God, he speaks of the comfort of a mother. That's the point. Sorry? Verse 8? 13. Missing one. There you go. Verse 13. Thank you. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. There you go. That is the verse. But God, when he's showing how he wants to comfort Israel, he doesn't say, as the father comforts the children. Now, fathers can give comfort sometimes, for sure. But not like the mother. Not like the mother. Mother, you bring such comfort to your home, whether it's when someone gets hurt or where there's a hard time or it's just a kid needs encouraged in school or whatever it may be. Mother is the one who brings that comfort to the home. And so we see these. I'm not going to go too much further, but there's a lot of things we look at as far as the value and importance of what a mother brings we see from Scripture. And of course, one thing I want to mention too, a note for those who can't be mothers, who aren't mothers. Now, most often, these qualities of a woman that we're looking at here, we're looking at specifically motherhood, we see those passages that are brought out in motherhood. But in a case where a lady, is not a mother, cannot be a mother, those qualities are still there. You are still bringing those into your family, into your society, into our church. We see that in church. There are ladies in this church that we all think of that perhaps God has not given them children of their own, but they bring these qualities into our church, into other families, specific families here, into their extended families. You can certainly be used in many, many capacities using these qualities as God wills for your life. You simply follow the will of God. And now, to wrap this up, I'll go through this quickly, but I just want to look at a couple of things on our duty to our mothers. And actually, I'm just going to kind of focus on the last one here. Back at Proverbs 31, some of the things we see in Scripture brought out as far as what we need to be doing for our mothers, what children should be doing for their mothers, definitely extending into adult children for your mothers, of course, giving them reverence and honor. And the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, Leviticus talk much about this. Obedience in the epistles of Paul, in Ephesians 6, Colossians 3, book of Proverbs talks about obey your mother. So children, young children, teenagers, those still in the home, obey your mother, give her reverence and honor. Do not think that you're better than teen boys, especially boys as you get older. Do not ever think that you are smarter or better than your mother. You will regret that decision. Do not do that. You be humble and have reverence and obedience for your mom and obey her. And then in Proverbs 31, verse 28, it says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. This is what we need to be doing here for our mothers, the mothers in our lives. Praise them, encourage them. Encourage them. This is the point I want to bring out. Make sure your mother knows how valuable she is. Because those mothers are going through things that we cannot understand if you're not a mother. I mean, 9 months of a pregnancy and then labor and then taking care of the kids after that. Stuff that can't even wrap my mind around, really, because I've never been there. I don't want to be there. Praise the Lord, I don't have to do that. But our mothers need to know that we need to be calling them blessed. We need to be praising them, encourage them every day. They need to be thanked. They need to be encouraged. They need to know that they are valued, they are important, and life would be miserable without them, because it would be. There would be devastating results without having a mother in the home. So hopefully this is something that could be a bit of encouragement, an emphasis on the value of mothers, what we should do for our mothers, and don't quit, moms. Keep going. You are doing something that only you can do in your family and in the world by providing faith, this protection, this teaching, this guidance, the abundant life that you bring to your home, the comfort, the kindness, the wisdom that you teach. You are needed. You are valuable. And keep going, and let's encourage and praise our mothers. All right, with heads bowed and eyes closed.